Hey, podcast fam. Are you a current Amazon bookseller? Are you tired of spending endless hours in thrift stores, bookstores, and libraries? Book sales, looking for profitable inventory? Want to source in your pajamas? KRM Wholesale offers a custom list of profitable books you can source from your computer. The items can be shipped to you, or our teams will prep and send the items into Amazon on your behalf. Take your Amazon business to the next level with no upfront charges or fees. Ready to get started? Visit kingsridgemedia.com/wholesale to get started today.
You're listening to Fox City's Murder and Mayhem, your biweekly dose of true crime history in a small rural community of Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Fox City's Murder and Mayhem. I'm Eric.
I'm Gavin.
And Gavin, we're back again, and you've got rather short story for us from the looks of it today.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
Yeah. Where are we venturing to?
Well, would you like to guess where we're going?
Green Bay.
No.
Tall. Kaukauna.
No.
Tall. I have no idea.
Come on.
Oshkosh.
Nope. If you really think about it, you should know where we're going.
If you're thinking, I'm trying to think like back to what the last episode is, I have no idea, so I can't really.
Okay, well, we're going to go to Macville.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So do you want to tell the story of why we're going to Macville?
A little bit. I will tell people if they want to hear the full story, they should subscribe to the Milwaukee Mafia Patreon, because I'll go into more detail there. But the short version of the story is, I was asked to do some background research on a building in Macville by a production company, and I did. So, you know, now I'm going to share that with the listeners.
And you're still holding back on saying what the building is.
I'll probably say it at some point in this episode.
So, for those of you that are familiar with Macville, it is not the church.
It's not the church. Not the church. So, but I'll probably say it at some point. Yeah.
And the reason for this research is because supposedly said building is haunted.
That's not what
you were brought in for.
That's not what I was brought in for. There isn't any of that in today's episode. You can look that part up. There is a local group called CAPS, and they have a website, and they've looked into it. So if that's the sort of stuff you're interested in, it's out there. But that is not the part that we're going to be talking about.
All right. So take us to Macville.
All right. So this is going to be a really broad history of Macville, okay?
Okay.
Super quick, but also going to kind of highlight some of the reasons that I was brought in on this project. Okay. So Macville, for people who don't know Macville, it's a little bit north of Appleton. It's an unincorporated community. It's not actually, it has no population at all. It's in the town of Center. It was settled basically 1848, 1849. There were some Irish settlers that came over from Ireland who were fleeing Ireland's famine, and some German settlers who were fleeing trouble in Germany. Which is why Wisconsin had a very large German population in general, because Germany had political troubles in the 1840s. Wisconsin became a state in the 1840s. So it timed out that all the Germans fleeing Germany ended up in Wisconsin.
Gotcha.
So even if you don't care about Macville, there's your fun fact of why Wisconsin's so German. Anyway, so the three primary settlers are two brothers, David Barry, Patrick Barry, and then a third man named Peter Hefner. And all three of them are Catholic. Their families all kind of intermarry with each other. They set up a small church that becomes St. Edward's down the line. St. Edward's is still there today.
Okay, so this is the church that's in Macville.
Yes. Yeah, originally they just set up like this little log cabin type thing. So like the building that's there now was built later, but it's essentially the same, mm-hmm. you know, parish. It grew from these few families to being 22 families by 1855, over 50 families by the 1870s. I mean, it's not a huge place. Sure. It's a very loosely populated place, but it is a growing place in the late 1800s. The person that we really care about is a man named Michael Gaynor. And Michael Gaynor came in the 1870s. He's not one of the original settlers. He came in the 1870s, and he marries the daughter of one of the original settlers. He had been working on their farm, and he saved his money because apparently they provided him room and board, so anything extra he just saved. He used that to purchase a building that became a general store, a saloon, and actually served as a local post office.
Wow.
Yep. So that building was at the intersection in Mackville. It's Highway 47 and whatever the other road in Mackville is. So that's where it was.
And this is the building that we're talking about?
This is the building we're talking about.
Okay.
So people would visit him. They'd buy their general store stuff. They'd stop in at his saloon where he would sing Irish songs and play the violin for them. Very popular young man. 20 years later, he decided he wanted to kind of retire. He had done his farm work. He had done his merchant work. He wanted to retire. So he ends up renting out the building to his nephew, Philip Barry, and Mike Gaynor takes his rental money and then buys 5 houses in Appleton and lives in one of them, rents out the other 4. This guy's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing really well.
Doing really well. Well, unfortunately for him, under the watch of his nephew, the building suffers a devastating fire. A lot of it is damaged, and the business isn't going very well. So Michael Gaynor's like, well, dang it. And he sells off his rental properties in Appleton and moves back to Mackville.
He's like, I got to go save my building.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what he was doing?
Yeah, so he comes back, moves back into Mackville, rebuilds the building. He's like, ah, crap. His wife, being an Irish Catholic woman, is having many children. And when she's 35 years old and has already had many children, she dies shortly after childbirth.
Okay.
So she doesn't die right there that moment, but about a week later, due to complications, she passes. So this is our first real tragedy here, is her dying. 35 is young. Even in those days, 35 is young. So 5 children were left behind. The oldest of the 5 was 12 years old. Michael Gaynor, from what I can tell, actually did raise them a lot of times in those days. A single father's like, I'm not taking care of these kids. But it seems that he did.
Okay.
So he's got 5 kids, 12 and under now, in Mackville, where he's like no longer has a farm, so I guess they kind of help out around the store. I'm not sure.
So at this point in time, he has rebuilt this building, and it is turned back into a store then, is what
you're
saying? Yes,
it is back up again.
Okay.
It is back up again. 1905 comes, so now he's getting older. He's getting older, but he's still there. He's now got a little bit of a land that he does farm on the side, just because he's got land to do that with. And he's got a man named Frank McMahon that everybody in town calls Frank the Tramp.
Okay.
And Frank the Tramp gets to sleep in the barn in exchange for helping out around the property. And
it's a good deal, right?
It's a good deal. Well, Frank the Tramp, as tramps are known to do, also has a severe drinking problem. And one night, while he is rip-roaring drunk, he tips over the lantern in the barn.
And starts, oh man.
Starts the barn on fire.
So now we got a burned down barn.
Yeah. So a neighbor, a man named George Batchelor, sees the fire and sees boots in there. And he realizes the boots are connected to legs. So he goes and he grabs them and he drags out a very, very drunk Frank McMahon.
Okay.
But he was so drunk that he was pretty burned up and died of his burns.
Wow.
So if you're going to get super crazy drunk, don't Don't start yourself on fire. According to the newspapers, Frank the Tramp had skin that was literally cooked off. That's their words, literally cooked off.
Not a pretty sight, I'm guessing.
No, not pleasant. Michael Gaynor makes it all the way to 1924, at which time he passes at 88 years old. He goes naturally. He's fine. Leaves behind some children. The next bad thing to happen in Mackville that I could find was a diphtheria outbreak in October 1926. And, you know, and I didn't know a lot about diphtheria. So
no, I was just going to ask you, are you going to explain what that is? Because I have no idea what that is.
I'm not even entirely sure. It seems like it starts off as like a lung infection. But from what I could tell, like it actually kind of eats holes in your flesh and stuff. I don't know. I didn't look into it too much because the pictures were terrible.
So now, is this something that we just have like an antibiotic?
Yes.
Penicillin or something for that is we've just essentially eradicated it or what?
Yeah. So okay. This used to be a real problem. Queen Victoria in England, her daughter died of it. President Grover Cleveland in America, his kid died of it. People are familiar with Balto, the dog.
No.
I don't know if they're familiar with that. That famous story where there was an outbreak in Alaska of diphtheria. And Balto and some other sled dogs had a race to bring the cure to these people.
Okay.
And we commemorate that every so often. I don't know if it's every year, but, you know, we commemorate that with the Iditarod race. The Iditarod is a celebration of the time that Balto brought the diphtheria cure to Alaska.
Interesting.
Yeah. I will say that none of the – Frank the Tramp and the diphtheria thing did not make the cut into the stuff that I turned over to the production company, which I think is a real shame.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're missing here. But anyway, so diphtheria, it was like a pretty big deal. A lot of people knew about it. It was, you know, famous people had died of it. Huge, huge thing. And there was an outbreak in Mackville. They had to shut down the school. And kid died. Another kid's really sick. It was a mess. Like, relatively few people died, but there aren't that many people in Mackville. So even just a handful, you know, it's going to affect the community. Yeah. Because it's everybody knows everybody. So that had to be pretty scary. But yeah, I looked into that and like apparently diphtheria, thanks to modern medicine, became increasingly rare after World War II. It still exists. But now today, like it's, you know, places in Africa and things like that that get it. You will probably never meet somebody with diphtheria.
Interesting. I wonder what took it out.
Well, vaccine is part of it.
So it just like giving us the right shots and we've just built up a tolerance for it that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so jump ahead to 1944. We've got Michael Gaynor's, the original property owner. We got his son, Victor Gaynor. Victor Gaynor developed a drinking problem. You know, like you do.
Apparently.
Like you do. He was spending a significant portion of his paycheck at the tavern, and his wife insisted she turn it over to her so that he would stop spending the money in the tavern. After threatening her, she took out a restraining order. At court, Victor told the judge that he had to spend that much at the tavern because there were a lot of us in there, and you have to take your turn buying drinks for other people. You know how it is, Judge. And the judge replied, "Why? You're not running for office."
Did he literally say you're not running
for office? You're not running for office, yeah.
That's amazing.
Apparently, court interaction didn't sit well with Victor because less than 12 hours later, Victor was back in his apartment when his wife arrived with two police officers to remove him. As they entered, Victor put a 16-gauge shotgun to his head and pulled the trigger. He died instantly. He was 31 years old. The couple had no children, and Victor's only living sibling was a sister in Seymour.
So now this is this in the building we're talking about?
This was not in that building proper.
Okay, this is just at their house.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, later the Gaynor property, this now is the building, was sold to a nephew, Floyd J. Ryland. I'm not sure if it's if Ryland is how you say it, but that's how I'm going to say it. And his wife, Babe. Allegedly, Babe committed suicide in the kitchen of the building on August 13th, 1970 at age 43. I say allegedly just because this was... When I signed on to this project, they handed over notes to me that they had received from somewhere. I'm assuming probably the owners, but they didn't tell me where they got them from. And I couldn't verify this. It wasn't in the paper. Like, if I wanted to, I could have gone down to the county. I could have pulled the death certificate and seen what she died of. But they weren't paying me enough to for me to take that extra special trip. So I don't know. I don't know that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. It very well could have happened. But it didn't make the papers. If she killed herself, it didn't make the papers. The death date is accurate.
But it's not unreasonable to say like a suicide wouldn't be in the papers, right?
By 1970, it probably wouldn't be. In the earlier days, it definitely would be. They loved that stuff. But by the 70s, they were much more quiet about
it. So it
that.
Is very, very possible that we're not talking about highly unlikely that this happened. It's very, very possible that this did happen.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be in the newspaper.
Yeah, I'm not saying they made it up. I'm just saying I couldn't independently verify it.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't like going on record if I can't verify something, but I'm not saying it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't have the record to back that up or not back it up.
Yeah, I'm just trying to drill down to how questionable is this, you know?
I don't know that it is. I will tell you the thing that was handed to me originally had some artistic license to it. It wasn't necessarily like wrong, but it really played up the drama.
Really?
Yeah. And I get that, especially because this was heading towards television and you want to kind of play things. I get it. But anybody who's a listener to this podcast knows, like, I don't work like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. I'll use it as my jumping off point, but you're not going to get that out of me. Mm-hmm. But coming to the end, the family starts renting out the building. And in 1987, October 11th, 1987, half of the building is the store saloon and the other half of the building is a residential area.
Okay.
The residential area has a fire. The fire breaks out in a children's bedroom and it ends up killing three children in one family. A fourth child dies about 2 weeks later.
Holy cow.
And I'm not going to say the names of the kids or the family because the parents are very much still alive. So out of respect, I'm not going to say it. If people can look it up, it's not hard to find, but I don't want to say their names. That was pretty serious. Three children all at once. And then the wife was pregnant and the baby, I don't know if the baby came out stillborn. But it didn't last. Like within a few days at the latest, it passed as well. So just an incredible tragedy there. Following the fire, that half of the building was torn down. The other half of the building that stands today was purchased in 1993 and was converted into a club.
But Gavin, I must say, you did very well on that. So, I mean, when you first started this story, the idea of it being haunted seemed very far-fetched, but then you coming towards the end, I could see there being some truth. Well,
yeah, and for listeners, like, I don't think this is, you know, don't turn against me on this. Like, I'm very skeptical of haunting stories.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right out, listeners, that I am. So, if you think that sucks, I'm sorry, but that's where I am. But that being said, if buildings being haunted are somehow related to violent or, you know, really emotionally strong events happening on the property.
This property has it. Yeah, this seems like a good candidate for that because there is a lot of history there. And just not, you know, not just people dying, but people dying of, you know, unnatural causes.
Yeah.
Fires and things like that. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about it. When they asked me to do it, I was kind of confused. I was like, Macville? There's nothing in Macville.
So did they present it to you like we need you to do some research about Macville? Is
that something like that? Yeah. And let's see if I can bring it up. Yeah. So originally they had me do the research, and then they came back around in the last week or two when it reached time for filming. The research and writing part was months ago, probably three months ago. But they came back around, and now here's the things that we hope that you'll cover. What is Macville famous for? And I'm like, well, it's really only one thing Macville is known for.
Yeah.
Second question, what do you love about Macville? And I get that, like, this list of questions is probably generic and they send it out for every episode. But I thought it was funny in the context because I'm like, what do you love about Macville? Like, I don't know.
I love that there's never any traffic. So when I have to drive through it, I can get through it as quickly as possible. That would be the best I could come up with.
Yeah. But then it gets more specific. You know, it's like, how did this town come to be? What's the Gaynor family significance to Macville? How was Michael Gaynor involved in sponsoring the church? And then the specific incidences that they knew about. But yeah, it starts off with the generic stuff, and I'm like, what is it famous for, and what do I love about Macville? in some things that's fine. Like, if it was Appleton, yeah, fine. That's a perfectly reasonable question. But this whole time, this production company is out of Canada. They're out of Toronto. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't think they bothered to look at what Macville is.
Yeah, well, and I'm just thinking, did nobody ever take the time to even at least Google it and see that there's, like, no population, so there's probably not a whole lot there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, because the way they kept referring to it, I'm like, I think you think this is a real place.
So that's the story of a lot of people dying in Macville.
Yeah, so it's just a broad overview of Macville. I don't think we're ever going to return to Macville on this podcast. So we'll just get it all out of the way right here.
And we will try to keep all the listeners up to date as we find out when that's actually going to be available for people to watch.
Yeah.
So if you want to tune into it and see what Gavin looks like, you can.
Oh, gosh.
So.
That camera was really close to my face, too.
So you'll get an up close look at Gavin. Yeah. So Gavin in a tie and
I was
dress clothes and tie. So
yeah,
few people get to see that.
Yeah, it's a rare event these days. I was trying it for a while to do the tie thing, and I just said I don't want to do this.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we can wrap this episode up. Unless you got anything else that you want to talk about with this.
No, I think this is pretty good. We'll be back next time with another great episode. And
I think you said the upcoming Patreon episode will be the same thing. Is that correct?
The upcoming Patreon episode, we'll talk a little bit more about this. We covered some of it here, but there's certain comments I want to make that I don't want to make quite publicly. So if people want to hear a little bit more about that, check out the Milwaukee Mafia Patreon. I believe it's $2 a month, and I believe that you could pay, listen to everything within that 1 month, and then cancel immediately.
You could, but don't tell them that.
Well, I'm just saying, if you wanted, like, 2 or 3 years backlog of stuff for $2, you could do that.
You could do that. I mean, it would take motivation.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of content to listen to. On
yeah.
There. But yeah, you certainly
thanks
could do
for
that.
Tuning so, in to Fox so, City's all right, Murder
with that, we'll
and
wrap
Mayhem.
This episode up.
Join
and
us in
if
2 weeks
is
for another exciting
Patreon,
episode
you can find
of
that at
Murder
patreon.com/MilwaukeeMafia. So, and we will be back in 2 weeks with a regular episode. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thank you.